Welcome to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett from the MGM Grand Detroit, James Salinas in a snowy Denver, and Wes Reynolds joins us for the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas. This is Betting Across America. And taking a look at the Super Contest and the Circa lines, the consensus this week, Carolina plus 7.5 against the who are they playing this week? The Saints in an NFC South matchup. So that's a very interesting line there. A lot of pro bettors getting down on Carolina plus the points against their NFC South rival. And James Salinas, your thoughts on that game and Carolina giving the points at plus 7.5 and a lot of folks in the contest going after it.
Yeah, I took the points, too. I took them in the contest. I also bet it earlier in the week at 7.5 as well. I like the matchup with Carolina. I've liked this Carolina team. I laid off the first few weeks. Anytime you have a new coach coming in, like Matt Rhule, especially coming from the college ranks, I want to just kind of see how I tread lightly with them. I want to see what kind of impact do they have on that team. Now, I think with Carolina, that roster, it was a complete makeover, especially on the defensive side. So I just did some time just to assess, but I've seen each and every week out of Carolina is a competitiveness about them. Those guys are playing. They're professionals. This is what their job is. But we see this week in and week out with teams who just they don't bring it every week. And I think we've seen that out of Carolina. They bring it each and every week. And then I think having Ted Bridgewater there, that's kind of the calming force for that offense. I know that McCaffrey's been out for a while, but having him come back, he was with New Orleans for the last couple years, so he knows both. He's got a little intel, right? He's got some intel from the offensive standpoint, and also he knows that defense inside and out, having been around them and faced them in practice for the last couple seasons. So I think that's to their advantage too. And then on the Saints side, there's some issues. Obviously, there's injuries and issues at the wide receiver position for Breeze, and his playmaking ability is going to be limited on the outside. But I also suspect there might be some issues with Michael Thomas, not only from an injury standpoint, but also from a locker room standpoint, because he was supposed to come off a suspension from a couple weeks back. He still hasn't come back. I'm not sure if it's just strictly related to an injury or not.
Yeah, same here, James. I'm on the Carolina Panthers plus 7 and a hook, and we saw 6.5 show before kickoff, so there is some decent action, at least on the Panthers, and same reasons. Injury not only to Thomas, but also to Emmanuel Sanders, who I thought was a key signing for the Saints in the offseason. And look, we've kind of seen that Drew Brees is struggling to get the ball down the field. He's still accurate. His mind is still good, but a lot of short, intermediate routes. Heavy running game, too, here on the first drive as the Saints are in Carolina territory just 5 minutes in, still no score. But the Teddy Bridgewater revenge game, I guess. You want to beat the team that you played for last year, and now you got a chance to start, so you want to beat your old mates. So I did take Carolina here, but you could see what New Orleans is doing right now, running game and a lot of the screen game here early.
Carolina, the consensus in the contest, plus 7.5 of the Super Contest and in the Circa Contest. The line did close at 7, as Wes Reynolds mentioned. 6.5 on the board right before kickoff with the Saints laying that number. Pro bettors getting down on Carolina in this one. Teddy Bridgewater, 20-5 against the spread as an underdog. Carolina and the Saints underway Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. One of the more intriguing games of the entire weekend, I think, and also one of the more intriguing games of the early slate, Pittsburgh taking on the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee, the one-point favorite. This is a battle between the rushing game of the Tennessee Titans and Derrick Henry and the stout defense of the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers defense ranking number 2 in total defense, number 4 in scoring, number 2 in rush defense, giving up just 66.2 a game, number 1 pass defense. They also blitz more than any other team of the NFL, 46.3%. They'll look to put pressure on Ryan Tannehill and try to contain Derrick Henry. And James Salinas in Denver, your thoughts about this one, Tennessee laying 1 against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, from a spectator standpoint, this is going to be a great game to watch. Both, obviously, undefeated teams playing very well out of the gates to start the season. I like both sides in this game. I was when I look at games, I try to make a case. Can I make a case for both sides? Who can win? Who can cover? There's so many strengths about both of these teams that I like that I didn't play this game because I was so conflicted on either both the side and the total in this game. So, really, I just wanted to see how are these teams going to respond to this matchup because it is a great matchup. And ultimately, this was not a game that was supposed to happen. With all the rescheduling COVID issues that we've seen the last few weeks, this was actually supposed to be Pittsburgh at Baltimore. That's not going to happen. Obviously, they're playing at Tennessee. Baltimore now gets to stay home. Their bye week now is this week. They get to stay home, get rested, get prepared, and play Pittsburgh, who's going to have to go to Baltimore next week in that grudge match in the AFC North. So I think of all the players, I like this. It's going to be fun to watch from this standpoint as a fan standpoint, and also as a sports bettor to get a better assessment of both teams when they're playing higher level competition. But I think truly the winner in this is going to be the Baltimore Ravens because this is going to be a physical game, and I think you're going to see a lot taken out of the Steelers, and they're going to have to go on the road and play Baltimore next week.
First touchdown on the board is the Washington football team, but the play is under review. It was Kyle Allen to Terry McLaurin, so hold the phone on that. We'll wait for the review on that, but 3 points officially on the board for the New York Jets. They have the lead early on against the Buffalo Bills, and the Jets did take some money this week and certainly got some support in the contest and at the windows. But what James is saying is right here on Steelers-Titans. I couldn't find a side, really, to get down on this game. It's kind of a team that I either want to back both teams or I want to fade both teams because I'm not sure how good they are. They look pretty darn good so far, both being 5-0. So I passed on this game. This might be an in-game opportunity to see what's going to happen here. This game was supposed to be a couple weeks ago, but now playing it here in week 7 as we do also have a touchdown in Green Bay, or rather in Houston by Green Bay. That was Aaron Rodgers to Devontae Adams for a short touchdown pass. So 7-0 pack, 9:21 left to go in the first quarter.
Steelers are 5-0 for the first time since 1978. They went on to win their first of two consecutive Super Bowls that year. Mike Palm's best bet this week, vsin.com/subscribe, and the daily email was over 50.5. Let's take a look now at the Washington football team laying 1 against the Dallas Cowboys. This game being played at FedEx Field, and it's a 44.5 total. Pro money hitting Washington when it was -3 for the Dallas Cowboys, and push line from Washington, the underdog, all the way to Washington, the 1-point favorite. And when you see that kind of line movement, James Salinas, what does that tell you?
Well, I think it's probably, it's obviously not going to be there to back the Washington football team. It's more so a play against the Cowboys. So I looked at this game. I didn't play this game. There was only one side I could make would be the Washington football team. Just Dallas has been a disaster from day one. That first game opening week playing against the Rams on that Sunday night, I saw it right away. They did not look very energized. There wasn't a lot of energy, you know, not a lot of intensity coming out of that team. Some leadership questions within not only with the players but also on that sideline with McCarthy coming in. I just feel like there's been some off-season issues too, as far as, you know, Jerry Jones and his stance with some of these other things that are going on across the country. I'm not sure how excited players are to play for America's team, and then everybody wants the shot at America's team week in and week out. It's a really dysfunctional franchise in my mind right now. And then from a perspective of injuries, especially at the offensive line, that's really where the mismatch is. Dallas's offensive line is complete mash unit. So many different players. They've had to shuffle so many things around. It's really changed the identity of the team. They're not a running football team anymore. And we saw that with Prescott in there. Prescott played phenomenally well throwing the football. He's got great targets. They have great receivers to throw the football to. But I think on that offensive line now, that's where the mismatch is with Washington. It's a terrific defensive front for Washington, but I just couldn't make myself a play on the Washington football team because of that offensive side. So many question marks to be able to score the football. This is going to really just be a sloppy, ugly game, in my opinion.
Yeah, that touchdown, by the way, in this game was reversed. They said Terry McLaurin didn't break the play, and so 4th and goal from the 1 for the Washington football team. And look, the only case I could make was Dallas on a teaser, just teasing through a key number here. Really didn't like either side. So Yeah, I stayed out of this, but that touchdown to McLaurin was reversed here. Tough to have faith, really, in either team.
Dallas is 0-6 against the spread to start the season. And I was listening to the mega pod the other day. Todd Wishnev was like, when you've got an 0-6 team, you certainly know that a team will not go winless against the spread throughout the year. At some point, they will cover. That. At some point, do you think, all right, you know what, I'm going to hold my nose and go with Washington or go with Dallas in this instance with the 0-6 number against the spread, thinking, you know what, at some point they have to cover, and this is as good a chance as any against a Washington team that's struggling as well.
Yeah, and we do have an update on that one. They went for it on 4th and 1 from the 1-yard line. Kyle Allen stopped for no gain. So Dallas will take over, gets a goal line stand, take over at their own 1. So 5 minutes into the game, no score.
A good one there. Dallas in Washington. The Washington football team laying a point. They were the underdog earlier in the week, the total 44.5. The Cleveland Browns laying 3.5 today at the Cincinnati Bengals. Obviously, Baker Mayfield, he has struggled against the better teams at his division, just 1-5 against Baltimore and Pittsburgh. An opportunity, though, to beat up on the Cincinnati Bengals and this young team led by Joe Burrow. The Bengals are the 3.5-point underdog at Paul Brown Stadium. The line did close at 4 with the Browns laying that number 50.5. Your thoughts on this one, James?
Well, I didn't play this one either. I wanted to back Cincinnati as the home dog here, especially with that 3.5 getting that hook past the field goal. But knowing through the week that Mixon may not be there, I mean, I think that's got to be Burrow's best friend. Early in the season, he was taking way too many hits. They were dropping him back in too many passes, 40, 45, 50 attempts at some point early in the season, and they realized right away they don't have the type of offensive line that can sustain and keep Burrow upright, and they can't have their prized rookie take such a beating to survive 16 weeks of the NFL season. So really started to feature Mixon, get some balance back on offense. With him not being there, it was a big stay away from me because it's a big drop off from Mixon down to Giovanni Bernard, if that's who they do. He's more of a third down type of running back. He's not going to be the workhorse. So, and then on the other side, I really want to see how Cleveland bounces back. Last week, they got it handed to them down in Pittsburgh. This was going to be their coming out party. We're going to be a player in the AFC North. We're no longer that third wheel in this division. We're going to go into Pittsburgh and we're going to battle. We're going to compete and we're going to make this happen. And it was a one-way street start to finish. They did not play well from the get. And so I want to see now, how do they bounce back from really that humbling loss in Pittsburgh?
Dueling interceptions so far in this one, as Joe Burrow drove Cincinnati right down the field through an interception in the end zone. And then Baker Mayfield goes ahead and returns the favor with an interception. And now Cincinnati is going to have 1st and 10 from the Cleveland 11-yard line. Odell Beckham Jr. Will have to get an update on that injury. Was injured on that play as Baker was trying to hit OBJ. And he came up limping and came up hurt. So we will see what that injury is. So now Cleveland or the Bengals on the move, and it looks like they're going to get a pass interference in the end zone and have the ball on the goal line here to strike first. Nothing still, middle of the first quarter.
3.5-point spread. It closed at 4 with the Cleveland Browns favored in front of the Cincinnati Bengals. Another 0-6 team, the New York Jets, and the look-ahead line for next week, a lot of folks are talking about minus 21 in favor of the Kansas City Chiefs, and would it be time at that moment to take the Jets at plus 21? And right now, the Bills, 9.5-point favorites at the kick against the Jets. That number had creeped up at some point this week around 11, 12, 13 points. Some folks, did they indeed hold their nose and take the Jets at those plus points, James? And as I know you don't like to mess with the Jets, but what number will it take for you to take plus money with the Jets?
Well, sometimes it's not always just about the number, but it's about the spot. And I didn't like the spot here. I kind of agree. I didn't play it because I just can't bring myself to play the Jets quite yet. But I agree with the line move going with money going on the Jets because not so much because it's a play on the Jets or Sam Darnold coming back or anything like that. I just think this is a really tough scheduling spot for the Bills coming off. They've had screwy schedules for the last few weeks, having to play on a Tuesday at Tennessee, lost that game, then play on a Monday, playing the defending champs with the Chiefs, losing that game. Need to get themselves right, but looming on deck next week, they're going to host the Patriots. So huge game on deck, not to mention also the injuries, especially in the secondary at the corner position. They're really thin. They've got a number of corners that are out for this game. Tre'Davious White is out there. He is playing. He is active today, but he's nursing a back. He's got some leg injuries too, so he's definitely not at full strength. So I suspect there'll be some opportunities for Darnold to take advantage of that, but then Crowder wasn't there for him. That's his number one receiver. So a lot of issues going, obviously plenty of issues with the Jets, but I couldn't take them, but I see the spot and I see the move, and I understand that as to why people are going against the Bills today.
Bengals in the end zone. Joe Burrow, 1 yard touchdown run, 6-0, extra point pending in the jungle in Cincinnati. And also with this Jets Bills game, Dal Loggins is going to take over the play calling duties for Adam Gase here as Buffalo gets a field goal to tie it up all at 3:6:11 to go in the first quarter.
It's week 7 of the NFL season, and we're covering all the action in the league. More to come in a moment. This is Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. With exciting college and pro football action every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in the state. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. In addition, VSiN is reporting live from the Mandalay Bay every weekend to bring you all the analysis of all the best matchups. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett with you from the MGM Grand Detroit. James Salinas in Denver. And at the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas at the South Point, it's Wes Reynolds. A busy day of Week 7 action in the NFL. And Wes, what's happening right now out there in the NFL?
Yeah, one correction we want to make. The score bug indicated that field goal was good for the Buffalo Bills. It was not. So just to correct that for the record, 3-0 Jets here in the first quarter. Just 5:30 remaining. And Buffalo, look, the Jets did take money and now looking for the in-game price, and seeing also that the Jets are now just 6.5-point underdogs. 43.5 at BetMGM is the current price. Carolina on the board with the field goal. Joey Sly good. Saints now -8.5, 50.5 on the in-game total. It is 7-3 New Orleans. And also the score, Dallas and Washington, 2-0 Washington football team as Dalton fumbled the ball, recovered into the end zone. Because recall, Dallas got that goal line stand. So Washington football team now -3.5, 43.5 on the end game. And we also have a touchdown in Atlanta, and that would be for the Detroit Lions as they run it into the end zone. Kind of a little bit of a homecoming. I believe that was DeAndre Swift. The two Georgia Bulldogs going back to Atlanta, that being Matt Stafford and Swift. So now it's going to be 7-0 Lions, 4:16 left to go in the first quarter. Also 7-0 Pittsburgh over Tennessee, just 4 minutes left to go in the first quarter.
Lions have lost 12 of 14. They closed that game as a one-point underdog against the Atlanta Falcons at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. Couple things. Last week, I was a little hard on the Lions. I know. Give me a break, though. On the way home, I listened to local radio. They were a little hard on the Lions, too, talking about, oh, they can still lose this game. The other day, this is something that I do a lot during the week. I will watch classic NFL games for the announcing. I was watching a San Francisco and who was it? San Francisco and the Bengals from Paul Brown Stadium. No, Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati. They were doing the game, and they sent it to Brent Musburger for an update, and it was 10-0 Lions. And I'm doing my work, and come back a little bit later, they sent it to Brent Musburger again. And guess what, James? It was Packers 21-10. They had rallied again. The Lions, even in 1981, giving up a big lead and giving away the game late. It's a history. It's a pattern that's ingrained in the people here. But right now, the Lions with a 7-0 lead on the Falcons. An interesting matchup. As Wes said, the Georgia boys, Matthew Stafford and DeAndre Swift, back into their hometown, back into their home territory to take on the Falcons.
Well, and Mike, I think it's regardless of who's coaching, I guess that's longstanding history, like you said, with the Lions. They're actually really fortunate to get a touchdown on this drive. I guess somebody hit the quarterback too hard because there wasn't a hit in the head. It was third down. No, they sacked Stafford. They sacked him. Should have been fourth down, kicking three. They threw the flag out there, though, because he was being mean to Stafford and hit him too hard. So then they got the first and goal inside the five and obviously pounded it in from there. So, again, sometimes these officials are too much protecting the quarterback. You know, Stafford was actually out of the pocket that way too. So in this game, I don't like either of these teams, so I didn't play this either side because I don't trust either one to be able to finish, not only for Detroit and a long history of not being able to finish out and close games, but we've seen that with Atlanta obviously this year, and now you've had to have an interim coach because of that. So stay away from me, but sometimes you still got to deal with the referees and kind of their coddling of some of these players, in particular the quarterback position.
Hail to the Washington football team. Now 9-0. Antonio Gibson from 12 yards out. Washington leads 9-0. Now -4.5, 45.5 your total at BetMGM.
Wes Reynolds in Las Vegas. James Salinas in snowy Denver. Mike Sennett with you from the MGM Grand in Detroit. Back with more in a moment here on VSiN. Listening to our show right now on VSiN SiriusXM 204 or any of the other platforms, we want you to try watching us. So start right now. You can watch every VSiN show for free at VSiN.com. That's VSIN.com. Watch Follow the Money from their new studios at Circa Las Vegas, a numbers game, the Lombardi Line, My Guys of the Desert, and every VSiN program. It's all free 24/7 on VSiN.com this week as we celebrate the grand opening of Circa Las Vegas. And while you're there, check out our 10-day free subscription trial to sample everything we have to offer. That includes a daily Best Bets email and our Point Spread weekly betting guide. This is the perfect week to get more from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Head to VSiN.com now to start watching for free. That's VSiN.com as we celebrate the grand opening of Circa Las Vegas. Welcome to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike said it with you from the MGM Grand Detroit. Wes Reynolds of the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas and James Salinas in a snowy Denver, Colorado, where it doesn't feel much like baseball weather, I imagine. It's the Fall Classic. And what happened at the end of Game 4 of the World Series did not feel much like Major League Baseball. A couple of mistakes. And the Rays walk off with the win to even up the series at 2 games each. It looked like the Bad News Bears. Dodgers laying $1.54 yesterday as the favorite. Rays earned the victory 8-7 as the $1.44 underdog. The total was 8, and obviously that went well over. Today's numbers. The Rays are the $1.40 dog with Tyler Glasnow on the mound. Clayton Kershaw, who once I say this, you will not be able to look at him again. What has he got in that ginormous glove of his? Has he got a menu for a restaurant in there? It's a bit too big. When you try to coach kids and tell them you don't need a glove that big, they say, well, what about Clayton Kershaw? His glove is huge. They're the $1.60 favorite. Kershaw 3-1 with a 2.88 ERA in the playoffs. I guess this could go one of two ways, James. Either the Dodgers believe, well, we had that game in hand and we allowed it to get away and they'll bear down today, or they'll let it get into their head and the Rays will start to play free and with confidence, and it could be a different series after that mess in the final half of that inning last night.
Well, I think that's where baseball's a little different animal when it comes to momentum. Momentum is really as good as today's starting pitcher, right? So completely different matchups. Like you were talking about Kershaw, maybe he's got Vaseline in that glove. I don't know what he's got such a big glove that he's sporting out to the mound. But I think if looking at today's match, spectacular game last night, especially from just back and forth every half inning. I think they set a record. Maybe I'm wrong, but set a record as far as consecutive half innings scored. Maybe it was like 8 consecutive half innings scored, something like that. But anyway, fun game to watch, obviously, but going into tonight's matchup, I think this is, I have not been as high on Tyler Glasnow as a lot of other folks have been talking about him. I think people are getting enamored with these players that can come out and throw the ball 98, 100 miles an hour. I think game one, he was touching up to 101 at some point, but he's more of a thrower to me than a pitcher. Kershaw is a pitcher. He's going to work the ball inside, outside, off speed, and keep hitters off balance. When it comes to Glasnow, if he's not able to spin his curveball over consistently for strikes, he falls behind and he gets in trouble. I'm looking at what he did in game one. He threw 112 pitches in that game, 58 for strikes. So that tells me, we watched the game, he got hit hard. He's been getting squared up pretty good because regardless of how hard these guys throw, Major League Baseball hitters can hit a fastball. So, and especially with Glasnow's fastball, there's no tail to it. There's no movement to it. It comes hard, but it's straight. It's flat, really, is what it looks like. So if he's not able to get that curveball over, which he wasn't in game one, a lot of pressure on him tonight, having to go from he's the thrower in my mind to, as far as Kershaw's concerned, he's really the pitcher. So again, I still back the Dodgers. I think they'll put last night behind them. They're professionals. They still got plenty of hitters in that lineup, but that's the way that I'm leaning. I don't know if I'm going to play that quite yet, but I'm leaning towards the Dodgers. Wes, how do you feel about this game?
Yeah, I'm going to recommend what I recommended yesterday, which ended up getting there, and that's the over in this game, and why not? You look at Tampa Bay, they're living off the long ball. They've hit 8 home runs in the first 4 games. The average isn't as good, but they're very good against left-handed pitching, so you got to think that the Rays are going to get a couple, and look, on the side of Tyler Glasnow, he did get rocked in game one, 6 runs in the first game of the series. And, you know, we were mentioning what Kershaw has in that big glove, what Tyler Glasnow has in his glove are fastballs. And he throws it about 60% of the time, but you got a team that crushes fastballs, that being the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I just think you've got some tax bullpens here as well. You have 11 relievers that were used last night. So I got to keep going. I got to keep riding with the overs in this series. And I'm usually one that's more prone to look under first before overs, especially in playoff games. You're now seeing it move up to 8 and it's going to get juiced to the under. But I wonder how long these guys are going to go, how long the leashes are going to be, especially on the Glasnow side, in terms of, you know, the fact that they've already seen him, the fact that they already hit him around six earned runs. He also walked six guys in game one, did strike out eight, but you got to look at that going forward. Kershaw, like James said, can mix it up a little bit. Fastballs, got some off speed, uses the changeup as well. So, a very exciting game last night, and I was happy to see it just because happy to have a series, and then with my Rays World Series ticket in pocket. But Randy Arozarena, like Mike was saying at the top, a lot of mistakes made in that game. He was telling Daniel Jones to hold his beer as he stumbled going into home plate. If you recall, Daniel Jones on Thursday night game had the wide open field, and then the turf monster got him. So, Arozarena with the big home run that kept him in the game last night and then ends up scoring the winning run. So we got an exciting series. Not going to play it. I think that the, in terms of the side, because the Dodgers, I think it's priced right really right now. And it's mainly a little bit more of a line bias against Glasnow at this point because of how poor he was in game one, but over would be my call here once again.
Well, I think Arozarena was doing his best Sid Bream impression.
Yes.
And the way he figured to do that was to do a somersault down the third baseline because Sid Bream, the poor guy, had no wheels and barely got there. Arozarena, that's how fast that guy is. He did a somersault on the third baseline and still managed to get in. Obviously, the ball moved away there. But what a game. Series has been an awful lot of fun. I'm very thankful that they're playing. All right, stay with us. More to come of the NFL Week 7 when we return here on Betting Across America. Mike said it in Detroit, James Salinas in Denver, and Wes Reynolds is in Las Vegas here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Something more at BetMGM Sports, and new customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets so they place a $1 wager on any pro football team to score a touchdown. Just sign up and make your first bet with the bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of this special offer. If you're ready for showtime, then you're ready for BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app today and use the promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on any pro team to score a touchdown. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER New Jersey and West Virginia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT-INDIANA. Promotional offer not available in the state of Nevada. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett from the MGM Grand in downtown Detroit, just a couple of blocks away from Ford Field and Comerica Park and Little Caesars Arena and all the sights of Motown in Power Field. Not in Power Field, but it usually is when the Broncos are not playing at home. But this week, they are indeed playing at home. Unfortunately for both the Chiefs and the Broncos, a snowy Denver in James Salinas. And in Las Vegas, it's Wes Reynolds of the VSiN Studios with an update on what's happening right now in the NFL.
Yeah, the wild and woolly game of the early session is in New Orleans. 14-10 currently the score, Saints leading Carolina. Current price, -7.5 at BetMGM and 59.5, your updated total. Just to kind of catch everybody up on the sequence there, it was 7-3. Third and goal from like about the 1-1.5 yard line. Breeze tries to sneak it in over the top. They rule it a touchdown, but it looked like he was short of the plane. ball popped loose. Carolina was running the other way for a touchdown, but the refs had blown the whistle, called it a touchdown. Didn't look like it was, but nevertheless, it counted. Saints go up 14-3, but a nice response from Carolina. Teddy Bridgewater over the middle to DJ Moore for 74 yards. There wasn't a Saints defender, I think, within about 25 yards of DJ Moore, as he had nothing but daylight. So currently 14-10 in New Orleans, your updated score there. And then Washington football team now up 9-3 on the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas gets on the board. The WFT minus 2.5, 45.5 your in-game total. Still 7-0 as we go into the second quarter. Detroit and Atlanta. Lions minus 4.5, 51.5 your current in-game total at BetMGM. Also a couple more to get to. 2 14-0 leads for road teams. Green Bay 14-0 over Houston. 12 minutes left to go in the second quarter. Green Bay now minus 10.5, 55.5 your total. And the Pittsburgh Steelers 14-0 over the Tennessee Titans. Pittsburgh 6.5, 51.5 your total at BetMGM. But now Ryan Tannehill does have the Titans on the move just outside the red zone. 8:15 left to go in the second quarter.
A lot of contest players, both the Circa and the Super Contest, picked the Carolina Panthers at plus 7.5 for the contest plays this week. Also, some of the plays, the Packers at minus 3.5, the Steelers plus 1, the Buccaneers minus 3.5, and the Patriots minus 2. Those are the same teams, maybe a different order on who picked what for the Circa Contest and the Super Contest. James Salinas, your thoughts on some of those contest picks, and what did you pick this week? I know you mentioned you did pick the Carolina Panthers. Any other games that you're tracking with your contest plays this week?
So as far as this morning goes, I don't think so. I think I was tempted to play the Jets, Mike. I really was, just based on what we talked about earlier with the scheduling spot with the Bills, some of the injuries in the secondary, and feeling like eventually the Jets are going to have, regardless of the coaching staff, they're going to have to put out a concerted effort because they don't want to go winless, and it's a division game. So get to play the Bills second time here in the last 6 weeks. But ultimately, I didn't play that one. But I understand some of the moves as far as that went. As far as we talked about Pittsburgh, it wasn't a game that I wanted to play. I know that's one of the consensus plays. We're looking at Pittsburgh off to a great start right now. Still a long way to go in the football game, but you know it's going to be a tough battle for both of these teams, so it wasn't a play that I was really wanting to get into. Most of my games are coming up throughout the day, you know, later today and also on Monday night as far as the contest goes. Now, as far as the Survivor go, I looked at the Bills. I stayed away from the Bills. I figured they would be a big contest or a big Survivor pick. So I'm a Jets fan today from that perspective because I didn't use any of my entries with the Bills. I actually used them with the Chargers today. It was a tough week. It was a tough week to try to navigate through the Survivor pool. But looking at the Chargers, being able to come off the bye, playing, I think now Jacksonville is, they competed early, but really the depth or lack of talent on that roster is really showing out the last few weeks, where now they're not able to compete in these games anymore. They just don't have the ability to stay within the number with these teams. But outside of that, I mean, it's looking at some of these other games here. We saw the Bills, another late hit, I guess you could call it, or personal foul, getting too close to the quarterback. So, looks like Josh Allen got sacked again, and he just fumbled the ball for the Bills. So turnover, fumble recovery for the Jets.
Yeah, so now 3-0 Jets, 11 minutes to go. Good defensive stop there as the Bills were right in the red zone. Josh Allen hit, recovered by the Jets. So 3-0 New York. I'm the same with James for my contest entry. Is the only early game I have is Carolina here. Most of mine are late with New England, which I believe James also liked. And then I took Denver just on a good number at 9.5 in the contest just because of the weather issue. And plus the fact the Broncos do have a very good defense. So usually when that's getting bet to the under, I'm going to lean to the dog. I think it has extra value. I did use Jacksonville, and I'll probably regret it. I just thought the Chargers aren't ready to be, I don't think, a touchdown plus favorite against anybody. I don't think they've proven they deserve that despite the fact of their competition. And then the Rams on Monday night, finally for me, and we do have a touchdown in Tennessee. So Tennessee about to cut that lead into half, 14-6, 5:26 remaining to go in the second quarter.
Green Bay Packers, Aaron Jones out. 389 yards and 5 touchdowns so far this season for the Packers. The Packers are up 14-0 on the Houston Texans right now. That game at NRG Stadium in Houston. The Packers close as a 2.5-point favorite in that one, 55.5. Best bets this week from Paulie Howard. He liked the Packers minus 3.5. Adam Chernoff liked this game to go over 57. Best bets available daily in your email, vsin.com/subscribe. James, your thoughts on the Packers and the Texans with Romeo Crennel as the interim head coach for the Texans?
Yeah, I didn't play that side. I really wanted to see how is Green Bay going to bounce back from really that humbling loss down in Tampa last week. And I can't make any case for the Texans. I think it's a mentally weak team. They don't have a lot of talent on that defensive side. J.J. Watt is definitely not the player that he used to be. So many injuries, surgeries. He's never going to be back to the level that he was. But I don't like this Texans team on either side of the football outside, save of the quarterback with Watson. I think he's spectacular player, but he has to do all of it. Now their offensive line is pretty porous. They can't run the football, so he has to make all the plays. But he also, as great of a playmaker as Watson is, he can't play defense. He can't cover. He can't rush the passer, and he can't make tackles. So I think that's where when I'm talking about the Texans, that defensive side is really devoid of any kind of playmaking ability. And then I just don't like where their mindset has been through all the Bill O'Brien stuff that was going on, and he's too harsh for them. They don't like him. They like Crennel, but liking your coach only goes so far. You still have to be a professional, and you still have to compete. And right now they're down early in this game, and we'll see if they're able to bounce back. But I kind of think they're a mentally weak team, and it could be just a one-way street for Aaron Rodgers and the Packer offense today.
Yeah, James, this was the curious line move of the morning, because this was 3.5 most of the week. 2.5 mainly in the market, although it was 3 minus $1.15 on the Houston side, but a lot of 2.5 showed in the market. So it's that proverbial pros versus Joes type of game. Well, one of the things people got to understand, sometimes the Joes win in the NFL too. It's not always the pros beating the Joes. It goes back and forth, and the general betting public has a lot more information, and the general betting public is a lot smarter as bettors as they used to be, even though that seems, oh, Packers small favorite on the road against this bad Texans team. Oh, that's the square side or the public side or whatever it is, but it's getting there right now. And Houston took the money that, I mean, they had to take substantial money from some professional bettors to drive that under the key number of 3 on game day, when you know you're getting a bunch of Packer tickets, whether it's money line parlays or even straight bets. But so far the Joe's getting this right, because it is all Green Bay here. Texans only 51 yards on their first 3 drives. That's 3.4 yards a play. That's not going to get it done, as opposed to Green Bay, 184 yards so far, 7.4 per play. And just watching this game on the monitor here, Houston looks absolutely lifeless in this regard. So 14-0 Pack. Pack now at midfield with a 3rd and 2, and Rodgers scrambles. He'll have to throw it away. So Houston looks like they're going to get the ball back and get a stop. 14-0 there, by the way. That was A.J. Davis on the touchdown in Tennessee. 14-7 Pittsburgh Steelers. 5:26 remaining at LP Field in Nashville, Tennessee.
The Texans are 4-10-1 against the spread their last 15, and the run defense of the Texans, as James mentioned, not very confident in the Texans' defense. They've allowed 4 100-yard rushers this season. That is the most in the National Football League. The Texans down 14-0 to the Green Bay Packers, that game at NRG Stadium in Houston. Washington football team up 15-3 on the Cowboys. Right now the Cowboys are headed to an 0-7 start against the spread. Jets with an early lead on the Bills, 3-0. Saints 14-10 on the Carolina Panthers. Bengals 10-3 on the Browns. Lions 7-0 on the Falcons. And we'll have more on all of these games and the late afternoon games and betting across America, presented by BetMGM, continues after this on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.